Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm your guest host tonight, Jen Colmore from the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and I'm honored to be joined by a very special guest this evening, Michael Gray, the famed host of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Jen. It's very nice to be here.
That was fun.
Yes, indeed.
So, Michael, I hear rumor that there's a practice topic that you're very passionate about that you're here to talk with us about this evening.
Sure. And, of course, it would be hard to narrow it down to just one topic.
It would, wouldn't it? But luckily, actually, this one kind of has a broad spectrum approach, doesn't it?
Yes, it does have kind of a broad spectrum approach. So I was looking at the calendar of events for Living Compassion and the website, and I was just struck by how many different things are going on, how many so seemingly different kinds of activities are being offered. There's retreats, there's workshops, there's the huge Africa project, educating and feeding the children in Zambia.
Yeah.
There's the service work in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about what is it that is in common with all these?
Yeah. So someone comes across our website and sees all these various things. Huh. What's in one organization? What is it that they're offering all these different things?
Yeah, exactly. And as I was sitting with that, the word that came up was kindness. Jen, are you there?
Michael.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Did we lose you or me?
My phone line went dead, and then perhaps yours went dead.
Oh, dear. I couldn't tell if it was me or you, so I called back in.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
So you were saying?
I was saying that what I noticed in common when I was thinking about all of these seemingly diverse activities of Living Compassion, that what seemed in common for me was kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And perhaps there's my path, and perhaps there's just one path.
Right.
And so, you know, a number of years back for me, I was in a, quote, spiritual kind of bookstore, and I pulled The Key off the shelf.
Uh-huh.
The Key by Sherry Huber, of course.
Right.
And one thing led to another, and what I realized was that this was a practice, you know, of course I had no sense at the time of what was going on, and perhaps not even now.
Uh-huh.
And what I see is that there's the practice of learning to be kind.
Yeah.
And it seems to start with me.
Right.
To focus on kindness for myself.
Right, which would be the retreats and workshops.
Exactly.
Learning
exactly.
The skill of bringing kindness to this person, you know, this person that I am, which is so unfamiliar to most of us. You know, no one ever teaches that to us. No one ever trains us in that way.
Absolutely.
And so the retreats and workshops are a way to begin to learn that skill of bringing kindness to myself.
Yes. And as you say that, it's almost as if we're trained not to be kind in that way.
Yeah, exactly. In the conditioned world, we're trained not to be kind in that way. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And, as you know, with practice, there's only one process.
Mm-hmm.
So if the process I'm doing is kindness, it's
yes.
There's no way to be selectively kind.
Right.
Because that's not kindness.
That's not kindness. Exactly.
It's not kindness.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
So when I'm doing a practice of kindness, I'm naturally kind to myself, and I'm naturally kind to everything and everyone around me.
Exactly. So say more about how you see that manifesting in the other things that Living Compassion offers.
Well, yes, you're exactly on the right track.
I realized I was about to take the words out of your mouth.
You're leading me down the track. And, of course, when we are kind and grateful and see the huge blessings that I've been given,
yeah.
rather than living in the world of something wrong and not enough, you just want to be kind.
Right.
I just want to be kind.
Right.
I'm open to the suffering of other people in a way that I could not take in before.
Yes, exactly. I'm open to the suffering of other people that I couldn't take in before, and that so much energy is freed up in having brought kindness to myself. You know, all that energy that previously was tied up in self-hatred and, you know, conditioning beating me and, you know, all those things that literally my life force has taken up in that, that's all freed up through practice. And then I begin, as you say, naturally to look around in the world and say, well, look at this. There's all kinds of ways I can jump in and and use this kindness skill that I have.
Absolutely. And when we're willing to look, you know, there is no shortage of need out there.
Exactly.
And the beauty, of course, of the approach that Living Compassion has, you know, it's easy to, for example, from a conditioned view, look at Africa and be overwhelmed
right.
by what's going on there.
Yep.
And, of course, with coming from a place of kindness and compassion, we do what's possible.
We do what's possible, yep.
And we really focus our energies, and it's very well thought out. It's well managed. I can feel myself getting emotional, but it's such a beautiful project.
Yeah.
And I know I've said this before about the Africa Project. When I read the blogs, it's just pure goodness. You know, there's nothing you can see there except good.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, too, as you were saying that, Michael, that, you know, it feels overwhelming, and there's so much, and what can one person do? And yet the ripple effect that act of kindness has is enormous, because everyone who's touched by it, in a way, has that kindness possibility modeled for them. So whether it's someone writing the blog or reading the blog or the folks in Cantalumba or people who are related to the folks in Cantalumba or the people who give money or the kids whose parents give money and they learn about it, I mean, it's endless, really, the ripple effect that kindness has. And so, you know, it's that place of, you know, no act of kindness is wasted. It's all for everything.
Yes, and the way you've just laid it out there, you know, it's really obvious the way that we are one, that we are all interconnected.
Yeah.
And
how
that,
could we not be? Yeah.
How could we not be? And that everything that I do matters.
Yeah, yes. And so if I get stuck in that process of, well, there's too much, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it, then that's the ripple effect that begins. Everything's overwhelming, everything's too much, can't do it. That's what's put out into the world. But when we learn through the retreats and workshops that skill of not believing that voice of overwhelm and it's too much and there's something wrong and there's not enough, but instead I'm learning that skill of kindness, then, as you say, that kindness becomes the world that I live in, and I can't help but act from that place, everything I do. So you look at the schedule, Living Compassion, everything could be seen as an expression of that kindness.
Yes, and the last thing I wrote down on my notes here is exactly what you're pointing at, is that after a while, in practice, we stop looking at the list of events and saying, I want to do that, or that doesn't really sound like me, or I'm not into service work, I just want to do awareness practice. What we see over time is, this is a practice event. This is a practice, this is an event that's going to be held in the privileged environment, and I don't care if we're playing dominoes.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is, it's going to be with Sangha, it's going to be inclusive, it's going to be supportive,
so
it's going to be a wonderful time.
It's so true. So it's more a matter of looking at the schedule and saying, okay, I have a week in this month, what's being offered then? That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who cares what it is? As you say, it's practice. I want to do practice.
Wow, I've gotten all wound up here.
Very good. See, isn't it fun to be a guest on the show?
It is fun to be a guest. I hope I get invited back soon.
I bet you will. I'll put in a good word for you.
Thank you, Jen.
All right, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. Now, wasn't that a good time?
That was a good time.
I actually just found out about that little plan sometime this afternoon, because I guess we were a bit down to the wire on how it was going to work.
Yes.
And then Jen said, I have an idea. And I just started rubbing my hands together. How that's going to be. We're making a new Michael. Yay.
Yes.
So that was good. That was very fun to listen to.
That was fun. Great. How are you doing today?
Good. It was, I'll tell you, one of the things that was most fun for me to listen to with that is, it comes down to every month I send an email out to the Sangha, as you know, and it goes out to everybody on our mailing list. And this time, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it yet, but I was being quite hard, as I am wont to do, on the voices of conditioned mind and how they try to manipulate and control people, because I had just been in a conversation with somebody who took the not terribly unusual position of trying to defend them. Oh, the poor voices, you're so mean to them. Don't they deserve compassion too? Sort of thing. And so it went out. And I always think, as you and Jen were discussing, that, you know, one of the best words to describe our practice is kind. It's kind. It helps us to be more kind. And as you say, you know, then we're more kind when we're more kind with ourselves, we're more kind to others. And, you know, it builds out from there. And boy, did somebody get offended and thought it was just mean and hateful and belittling and designed to make the guru the unquestioned authority, and everything that the guru doesn't like becomes the voices of, and I just thought, wow, that is so interesting. Of course, the first thing I thought was interesting is, wow, exactly what I was trying to describe is happening, and that poor person doesn't know that. But to be so identified with the voices of conditioning and the world of conditioned mind that anything that threatens that is seen as unkind, it just made me really sad, because I thought, you know, that person then is going to be in that relationship with those voices and believing that story, and isn't going to be able to include him or herself, I don't know who it was, in the kindness that this practice has to offer. So it was fun. It was reassuring to me also that you people experience it as kind as well, and that it's not actually harsh and judgmental and mean and cruel. Ah, those are the voices of conditioning that would be describing.
Wonderful.
Yes.
We have several callers here.
Good. Let's talk to them.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen. Can you hear me?
We can.
All right.
How's it going?
It's going okay. I made a commitment to call tonight, and it's really good that I did. I wrote it down and everything else because I had a lot of, a lot of compelling reasons suddenly to make sure not to call. So,
isn't it astounding how that happens?
It is. It's like, I can really see two different people, you know, like the person who's here now, you know, just has no recollection or whatever, has no interest really in doing this. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not really sure who's here right now, but it was amazing to see how much resistance there was, and the struggle to be here and pick up the phone was really interesting. So,
well, and I think I know that there's more that you want to talk about, and I just want to stop you and underline that, because that's a big part of the deal. There's one person who realizes that practice is going to assist you in ending suffering. It's going to bring you a life of kindness and peace and joy and interconnectedness and all of those kinds of things. And that person is looking for support and recognizes support when she sees it and, you know, wants to be a part of that. And then there is this other that sees all of the things that support her as a threat. Doesn't want to be around Sangha, doesn't want to be in this conversation, doesn't want to pick up that phone, doesn't want to practice, doesn't want any part of it. And as you say, watching the struggle that goes on, watching that go from one perspective to the other perspective, and realize how long there is no awareness when in one that the other exists.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even tonight it seemed really like this dim thing, like, okay, I know I wrote this, you know, on the calendar, I made this commitment, but it was really, yeah, it was hard to even see into. There was, you know, some yeah. part that knew, you know, how much this was needed and important to get that connection.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. So what else? Now that
well,
we have you here.
Yes, now that I've made it here, woo, that kind of feels like a lot right there, really. But
oh, it is. Yeah,
oh,
it is.
But yeah, the other thing that I just noticed kind of along those lines is this Tuesday phenomenon that happens. Like, I have been, you know, really conditioning has had a, you know, hold around the throat for this last week, but suddenly, you know, I've just been miserable and whatever and believing it and identified and all that stuff. But I see this sometimes where, you know, suddenly today I felt really good and I was, you know, things were okay and whatever. And I realized, like, it's Tuesday, you know, and I knew from having experienced this pattern before that if I didn't call tonight, come Wednesday morning when I didn't call the show, it would be just time to get pummeled about what an idiot I was that I didn't take the opportunity to call. But suddenly I felt like I didn't have anything going on, didn't need it, you know, want to talk or anything else. So.
Yeah. I love it. It's just all so the way conditioning operates, isn't it?
It totally is, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, just falling for it is kind of like, how could I keep falling for that week after week that suddenly every Tuesday I feel okay, but oh, well.
Well,
you know.
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? That's the beauty of practice. Because you do, you go through this Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday, and finally, you see it. And I don't mean finally like you're some kind of slow child. I mean, we are meant never to see it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If we keep practicing, then before long, it's revealed. And once we see it, that same process is something that conditioning is going to try to use on you in every area of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you are. There's so much wrong. This is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Okay, you could go get some support, some help in disidentifying. Oh, no, there's no problem. You're fine. What are you talking about? You don't have any problems. Quit being a complainer. Don't be a whiner. There's nothing. Next day, you idiot. You could have gotten support for looking at your process, but did you? No. So it's your fault.
Yeah, that's exactly what goes on. Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and I bet a lot of other people are nodding their heads, too, because it's a script.
It is. Huh. So, yeah, I'm kind of like there's this feeling, you know, I think I am kind of identified. I don't know, like I'm not even – I'm having a hard time knowing even what it is that's going on. But like I said, I mean, it's been back to that, you know, they're old voices, but they've been kind of regaining power, you know, of, and they say I, and it's, you know, I want to die, I want to give up. And I actually, you know, I'm like Googling websites about that before, you know, I get in that deep and then realize, what am I doing? And then
who am I identified with?
Who is this? Yeah,
yeah.
And the thing that really, you know, it's so frustrating and probably is what, you know, this is always going on for everybody, but I have this wonderful life right now, but you know, I'm not getting it and living it, and even if, you know, really awful things were happening, I know there's so much to be, you know, grateful for and whatever, but then that gets turned into something to get, you know, be an idiot over too, because I'm not living this great life that's in front of me, and then it's right back to, you know, let's take you down again. So,
That's right. Oh, yeah. But the beauty of it is that you can articulate it that way. You know, it's like years ago, I don't know, maybe it's still, this film still plays in places, but the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but never saw it. I never saw
okay.
it.
Well, it was this whole cult thing, and people, it would play like at midnight on Saturday nights in theaters, and people would go week after week after week, and they would dress up as the characters in the movie, and they would act out the movie in the theater. So if they would, you know, if you were the young maiden, then you would say all the young maiden lines. And if you were the young fellow, then you would say all the, okay? And so it was like performance art for the whole theater and audience, okay? Now, the thing about it is, there was no mystery about that movie. It's not like anybody wondered how it was going to end or, I mean, they knew every comma in the script.
Yes.
But it was compelling because they were acting it out. It was fun because they were acting it out. They didn't believe it. Okay? They didn't, you know, when the hero was in danger, they didn't get terrified. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they knew how it was going to turn out. We can be in that relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know that when your life is going really well, it's going to say blah, 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 blah. So there's Jen's life up on the silver screen. Are they still silver? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
Up on the, yeah, up on the screen. Okay? And you know so well every aspect of the karmic conditioning that is attached to that incarnation that there she comes around the corner and the voices are going to start saying this. And then she does that, and they're going to say that. And then when she is feeling that way, they're going to come at her with that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we're going for. Just like it's Tuesday. Of course I'm fine. Of course the voices are telling me I have no problem. Because it's not Wednesday and time to beat me up for not having called into the radio show.
Yeah.
And when you can see it that clearly, it has no power over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a silly movie.
Yeah. And I know how it's going to go, and
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And you know how it's going to end for karma. How it's going to end is that you're going to stop giving your life to supporting it.
Yeah, I guess that's where I feel like then I feel a little stuck because I do see it going on, which is exciting. I'm really glad I feel like I see some of what's happening with it, but I'm still, you know, somehow the energy still gets given to it. Like I'm actually trying to start a business and some things that I'm really excited about, but I'm getting pulled under and not having any energy for any of those things because
Jen.
I give my energy to that, you know?
Jen.
Yes.
Course I know. Okay.
Okay.
Now, let's say that movie is an hour and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rocky Horror Picture Show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to see it. The first time you go, oh, wow, whoa, oh, ooh, gross. Oh, ooh, interesting, okay? How many times are you going to have to see that before you know what everybody is wearing and what their facial expression is and exactly the timing of what they say and exactly what they say and how they say it? How many times would you have to see it? The answer is a lot. That's exactly right. Okay?
Yeah.
So, yes, you're seeing karma. Yes, you are. And you're seeing, for instance, that the reason that all of this stuff is pulling at you so hard is because you're trying to do something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't pull at you that hard when you're Googling methods of suicide.
Right.
Quite content to be quiet. Just look over your shoulder and point out interesting possibilities to you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the point is, this is all progress.
Okay.
Okay? Just give yourself a little time to get the whole script really down.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I get really discouraged that I'm not taking steps forward. I'm not doing these
but
things.
But that's part of it.
Yeah. It just goes into it, and
That's right. That's all part of it. So you make notes on that part of the script. All right.
Okay.
That's where that comes in and says that. Right. Okay. Got that. So that pretty soon, you know, you'll be able to turn the page. Conditioning starts in on something, and you go, yes, and you can say it along with it. Yes, I'm an idiot. I should have called into the radio show. This is true.
Good morning.
Yeah. It's Thursday. I'm no longer an idiot about that. We're going to move into.
And I think this is just all, part of stuff to see. But there is now this voice of like, but how will I ever be successful with this business because I keep giving my energy to it? But I guess that's not even the point, really. Like,
You just write it on the margin of the script.
Okay. It's just one
it's
more.
It's all part of it. It's all part of the same thing.
Okay.
They have come up with nothing new for you so far.
All right.
All right.
I would like my energy to live this life, so I'm trying to look at how to have that.
Yes. Well, and of course, the how to have that is to keep practicing, to turn your attention away from when you know that what this is and you know what the story is, turn your attention back to the life that you have that you want to live. Start through a list of, wow, this is really working and that's working and there's that person and there's that relationship and that's going on and I love that and look at all those things that are in bloom and that's really, okay, give your attention to the life that you have that you want to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That's so helpful. So thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great rest of the show.
Thank you and keep in touch, huh?
Okay, I'll try to get to another Tuesday evening here.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Good night.
So bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful, simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my mind. What a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it, I sure.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have three more callers here. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm calling for a second and make a report, and it's kind of like a good news report.
Oh, okay.
On April 2nd, I think that was 12 days ago, I went to the hospital for a shoulder surgery.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a new story. I've had four of these, and my occupation has just been too much for this little body, and so my shoulders get kind of beat up. And so they knocked me out, and they did the surgery, and my friend took me home. And they gave me so much post-operative medication to control the pain. It made me nauseous and whatnot. And so my friend is putting me to bed to try to recover. And she says, oh, by the way, the surgeon just called. And he said that he didn't think the surgery was successful and that you're going to need a complete shoulder replacement.
Ow.
So I started crying. And I just felt myself spinning into this, like, despair because I was so uncomfortable and it was nothing. And the shoulder replacement is going to take 4 days in the hospital and wow, it's very difficult rehab and it's not been perfected yet. And so I felt like I was diving into this morass. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, the title of one of your books. Suffering
uh-huh.
is optional. Suffering is optional. I said, wait a second. Wait. I said, wait. Look at what I'm doing. Pain is one thing, and discomfort and hospital trauma, but wait a second. It was like first time I saw that there's only one person responsible for suffering.
Uh-huh.
And that was myself.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to share that and shout hallelujah and
yeah.
It's, but then I felt all of a sudden like I was digging myself out of this hole, and so they gave me an enormous amount of this post-operative medication, and for a week I felt terrible trying to detox, and I started having these feelings, oh God, I wish I were dead. I just and before I could even finish the sentence, it was like an alarm went off. That, wait a second. Oh, that's self-hatred, isn't it? That's the voice of self-hatred.
Good for you.
I'm here to report the good news that if we're inspired enough and dedicated enough, this stuff really works.
It does, doesn't it? And it's
it
wonderful
does.
When it really works in, at times when we so desperately need it to work. You know, it's great that it works when, you know, the stakes aren't that high. You know, it's not that big a deal. I can disidentify. I can come back. I can let it go. But when the stakes are really high and we can remember our practice and we can apply what we know to ourselves, that is a story.
Hello, you there?
Yeah.
I didn't catch much of that. There was a lot of static.
Oh, my goodness. Michael, are you hearing a lot of static?
I'm hearing some static, too, yeah.
Oh, dear. You think it's me?
I think it might be you, but I'm not positive.
Don't take it personally, Sherry.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Well, if there's something that I should do, then I would be happy to attempt to do it, call back in or something like that.
I think that's a great idea, and then I'll play a sponsor break in the meantime.
Okay.
Anyway,
Sherry,
I just want to finish one. Can I finish one more comment?
Sure.
And that is, so I have this kind of image, and that is, you know, in the old pirate movies, there would be a lookout that was up there in the crow's nest.
Right.
And I feel like, oh, wow, it doesn't take a lot of effort. It's just like, oh, now I'm like watching all the voices up in the crow's nest, keeping a lookout.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot of effort, does it? That is such a good point.
Like,
and the view is great.
The view is great.
Yeah.
The view is great. Anyway, deep, deep gosho and thanks and hallelujah.
All right. Thanks, Rico. I love good news. All right.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night. Thanks,
Michael.
So much. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Michael, I'll call right back.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we will be right back.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Is that
Sherry?
Better?
That is better.
That's oh, yay.
Great.
I live in the country, you know. Our phone lines are shaky in the best of times.
Can be sometimes, yeah. I love a success story.
I love it.
Yeah.
I also, I'm sorry if this is offensive to anybody, but I just love a system that sends somebody home from a surgery loaded up with pain medication and then calls to say, it didn't work, we're going to have to do something much worse to you.
Yes.
So sensitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. Strikes me as a bit unkind.
Gosh. Well, I'm glad he was able to see what he saw.
Yes.
In spite of.
Yeah, and particularly at the time when we really need to see things.
Yeah.
Sure, we have three more callers in the queue.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
My name's Ken. I'm in Oregon.
Hey, Ken.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on up there in Oregon?
Oh, it's just a beautiful day. You know, spring is coming along strong, and I'm kind of enjoying it.
Good.
It doesn't get better than this. Well, I guess it does, but...
Right, but we're not going to complain about this.
I'm not going to complain about today, no. I was about to hang up because everybody else covered everything else that I had going on. So, because I don't need any help, I just take those things and go with it.
Uh-huh.
Except I've been doing this now for months of listening and not calling and thinking I should. So I'm just repeating what everybody else is saying in some ways, but, you know, it's what we suffer
with. But, you know,
with,
Ken, we always are. That's what's so beautiful about practice. We all suffer over the same things in exactly the same way. Conditioning keeps us believing that it's only us, that this is happening because there's something wrong with us and that we're far worse off than everybody else and probably pretty helpless and hopeless, and as people have suggested, suicide would probably be a good choice. And then we start getting around other people in practice and go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is obviously not just me. This is happening to all these other people. And so here we are, and now let's talk about it, what's being done to us, and how we can sidestep it. So it's true. I mean, there isn't anything unique about any of it, but each one of us has to find our own way through it and out of it, and it's really nice to be in the company of other people who are doing the same thing as we do it.
That's one of the one of the things that's been moving me while I've been listening today, especially where I feel tearful because I'm out there, I'm in the same trenches with everybody else,
mm-hmm.
and they're all doing what they have to do.
Yes. And it's very heroic, isn't it?
It is. It's
yep.
amazing.
Yep, it is.
I mean, I've been to the place where suicide seemed like the best thing I could possibly do. What a great thing. And
yeah.
I don't feel that way anymore, but I can understand it.
Yeah.
And then to say no to it and keep on is just amazing.
Yeah.
Just to put that idea down and say, I'm not today.
That's right. Yeah, well, and for me, part of it is, this is getting to that place of realizing, you know, this is a good life and it's a good person, and I'm not gonna do that to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in relationship with those voices in a way that would convince me to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what it comes down to. You know, that's exactly what we're doing. In that
and there's
life.
These tons of little deaths that go along with it, where personally I want to do some things, and yet every day using those voices, I allow them to kill those things off.
Yes. Oh God.
And go from day to day with these little deaths.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm
sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. You know, when you said that, I just had this image of a very cruel person, you know, saying to a little kid,
we're going to go out today and we're going to do something really, really fun. And as soon as the little kid gets really excited, the person says, no, we're not. I was just lying to you.
Exactly. You know?
And that's what it feels like to be caught in that place of in that relationship with conditioning.
And that's what I've been dealing with, you know, and what everybody else has been dealing with. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some, I don't know what the burden is for one person or another, but I mean, I just was like stunned by what people were saying today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm really grateful for the program.
Yeah, me too. Because otherwise, again, you know, there are not a lot of places where we can be this kind of honest,
yeah,
and get encouragement that is exactly what we're being. We're being honest. It's not that we are in bad shape. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. It's not that we're suffering from some kind of pathology. This is the human condition, and all we're doing is being honest about how everything works and getting support, gaining strength from one another as we see that and see through it and find our way to freedom. Good thing.
Well, I'm good.
Good! And it's great! Oh, my gosh! Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then take the strength to say to that person, you know, I know a lot of crummy stuff has happened to you, and I really haven't known what to do about it, but I've got a clue now, and I'm going to be here with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to do my best to stay with you and support you and help you get into places where you get real information about who you are and what your life is about and what is possible for you and help you realize your dreams and take a stand for your life and make it beyond your wildest dreams. And to me, that's just as good as it gets for a human being.
That's what's been going on for me since I've gotten more deeply into some practice here and where I live and in Sangha through this program and where I live. You know, the dreams come up, and they seem doable.
Yes.
They don't have to be dreams.
That's right.
Or even, you know.
They are your real life, in fact.
Exactly. And that's what I stumbled on today, the realization of, wait a second, I've got this life I'm living. I'm not failing. And I'm doing it the best I can, one day at a time. I'm not getting distracted by a lot of stuff. I've got plenty of food and a roof over my head and enough money and I can do other things.
And plus you're a good person.
And it has nothing to do with what I can steal from somebody else or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so it's just I've been wanting to do more with my life, and there's nothing stopping me except the GD voices.
Right.
those freaking voices that say, no, you can't do that. Nobody will be interested. Come on, you don't have the skill. Oh, geez.
Yeah. And finally get to a point of saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here with you, fella. You know, I'm interested. I'll help you.
Exactly. Well, so I guess I'm just going to say thank you.
Well, you're very
I don't
welcome.
Need to get into the content, but for everyone else out there too that may feel alone, you're doing something really important. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go.
Thank you. All right. Good night.
I got stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. I got things to do. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ken. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
That was great. I got to go. I got a lot of things on my life program here.
That was very inspiring for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love it when people find the courage to call in period.
Yeah. We can just stop right there, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, and then to take these steps to turn our lives around, conditioning, the voices of conditioning, of course, will always want to minimize everything that we're doing. But it's truly courageous.
Yes, courageous, inspiring, amazing, heroic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as you know, it's so fun to do it together. And we hear from people all over the country and all over the world. And I know there's a little light, you know, in this part of the country, and a little light here, and a little light.
Oh, I know.
Lots of lights, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. You know, if we just did, if we could just do something visual like that, just with Sangha. You know, if you could just put out a call, everybody who feels like they're Sangha. You know, not just our Sangha, but Sangha. You know, everybody who's trying to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
And there goes a light, and there's a little light, and there's a little light, and there's a little light. And I think it's Hawkins. Is that the fellow, Stephen Hawkins?
I want to say Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah, or Paul, maybe, whoever he is.
Tell
anyway, his whole deal apparently has been, if we knew how many people there are trying to make a difference in the world, we would realize that we are actually the majority.
Yes.
We feel like, you know, we're kind of out there, little voices in the wilderness, but there are way a lot of people who are being courageous and trying to wake up and live a life of kindness and caring and make a difference and like that. It would be fun to see all the lights come on.
Yes, yes, indeed. Sherry, we have two more callers.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hey, Jan.
How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
Good.
I can't say what's going on in California, but because I kind of have sense of that.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be on. I've tried several times in the past, and I just feel very privilege, lucky to be on. Well, I called for a couple of reasons. One is to thank you for the letter you sent today.
Oh!
Which it really hit home as far as, yes, this is, it's something I want to read every day. You know, it was right to the point of making our choices in every moment of every day.
Uh-huh.
And I had been noticing that paying more attention to how I make my choices and will it support my practice or won't it? And just the example you used of the Zen master and just the whole thing was very, very helpful.
Oh, good, good. Thank you.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to run by you, it's been a challenging month for me. Well, you know, my dad passed away this last month. And it's made me terrifically grateful for practice because it's hard for me to imagine going through this without it. But what I've noticed is that, especially during this time, a lot of old patterns seem to be coming up. That I'll be going along, you know, my practice is strong, but I'll fall into things and into old patterns that I don't remember having happened for a really long time and getting stuck there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are having, as far as I can tell, an accurate experience. You know, there it seems to me, because, you know, I'm one of those people who fortunately talks to a lot of people. I'm blessed with being on a process level with a lot of people as they look at their lives. And I will see patterns. And it's like, and I don't know, you know, we're taught that this is not true, but I think as soon as we stop and think about it, of course it's true. We know about seasons. We know times of day. We know different things happen in different places at different times. We know, for instance, people who study the weather will know that periodically a drought will hit here, and then, you know, and now we've kept charts for long enough that people can sort of predict it and see those kinds of patterns. But we
mm-hmm.
don't believe that it exists on a spiritual level, an energetic level. And yet, I'm convinced from talking to enough people that it does. And I have heard so many people recently, over the last month or so, say a variation of what you just said. It feels like a lot of old stuff is coming up. And when they say it, it's with, you know, in practice there are those times when old stuff comes up and your reaction to it is, geez, I thought I was done with this. But that's not what people are saying about this. It's old stuff coming up, and a person, in this case, say you, knows that it's old stuff coming up.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like I should be done with this. It's like coming up, and it's so strong, at least in my experience, what I'm referring to. It was so strong, and I sat. I went, you know, right to the cushion. I sat with it. I got to a really quiet place. And I'd get up, and it was right back again.
Yes.
And
yes. It's like a visitation.
Yeah. And I actually, I felt, in this case, I had to say to my family, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for me to be with you right now. I'm just in a place because it wasn't something I had control over. It didn't feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, truly. It can feel like a takeover. You can see that it's there. You can see that you're different now than you were when it was there before or at other times in your life. And yet it's there so strongly that it's undeniable in its presence. It's not something that you can be casual about. And one of the other components that seems to go with this, that again people are talking about, is the emotion.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's been huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like windstorms.
One of the things that occurred to me after sort of going through it was, gosh, should I, you know, would reassurance, it's one of those things, looking at your practice, what, you know, would reassurances, more reassurances, is that what wasn't happening, that this was came on so strong? And
or is my contention in some ways valid, that it actually has very little to do with you.
Mm.
In that way that my teacher used to say about the weather, you know, April can be anything, which is certainly my experience. I mean, you can have, you know, like here where I am in California, you know, it can be 95 degrees in April. It can be snowing in April. It's just, and often is, you know, it's not like it can be, but often is. So it's just really tumultuous. A lot of wind and just a lot, you know, So if I want to get involved in that, if I want to take that personally, then there, that's one life experience. But if I say, whew, okay, well, big weather here, then I can just dress appropriately. And that would be my encouragement with this. Just dress appropriately. And don't assume that what's going on has very much to do with you personally.
So from what you're saying, it's like anything else. Don't take it personally. Just see as much as you can.
Yeah, it's blowing through.
Yeah, boy, it's a storm coming through.
Yeah. And so you do, you want to, you know, kind of batten down the hatches and figure out how to take care of yourself. And, you know, if you can, I think about like being in the South and sitting out on a porch in a big thunder and lightning storm, you know, see to what degree you can actually enjoy it. If you're not feeling like you need to do anything about anything or fix anything or change anything, but just to realize, here comes another big one.
Yeah, and the only, I think the part the part for me that was most difficult in this situation was the effect I could see, the potential effect it would have on other people.
Yes.
And it really did seem like I needed to be by myself, to remove myself, or damage could be done, you know?
Yes, or, of course, one of the things that we can do, and I'm sure you do this, but is just say, you know, this is what's going on. I hope you don't take this personally, because I promise, much as I love you, this has nothing to do with you.
I said that in so many words, but it really felt like at any moment something could come out of this mouth that would be very hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And better just to take her off by herself for a while.
Give her a little quiet time. Put her in time out. Yeah.
Well, thank you for, I mean, it just, sometimes, you know, when you're in practice, there is tremendous faith that everything's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes things come so strong
that
you need a check-in.
Yeah. Yeah, you just want to be able to say to somebody, okay, I'm sure this is all fine, but is it?
Have you had this experience before?
Yeah. Has anybody else ever been here before? You have? Oh, okay. All right, then. Then, I can go with it. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and thank you, Michael, and for your interview. I love the show.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Good night, Jan.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I can't tell you how excited I am that we have no more callers right now, and so we can get to a couple of email questions.
Wow. Did somebody fall away? Because I thought I had one more to go.
Somebody did fall away. Yes. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. I am self-employed but seem unable to get myself to do what it will take to make my business a success because of stagnating fears and a lack of self-confidence. This has caused a great deal of suffering, especially in my relationship with my significant other. I try to be compassionate towards her suffering, but because she sees my actions or non-actions as the direct cause of her suffering, this ends up feeling a lot like self-hate. To make matters worse, when she gets frustrated with me, what she says to me sounds very similar to those self-hating voices. So how can I be compassionate to someone who sees me as the cause of her suffering without slipping into self-hate? And how can I remain compassionate to myself in this situation? I have trouble telling myself there is nothing wrong with me when I appear to be causing all this suffering. I have read most of your books and listened to most of the archives, but I'm still having a lot of trouble applying what I have learned. Any insights would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, from a listener in Seattle. And P.S., when are you coming back to Seattle?
Well, I was just going to suggest that the writer might want to come down, and of course I didn't know it was come down because I didn't know Seattle, but come to a retreat.
Yeah.
Because sometimes being in the environment is a lot more effective than just reading a book or listening to the archives. But here's the deal. It is not my experience. I do not believe that we cause anybody else to suffer. We just don't. Each one of us suffers because we want to suffer, because we choose to suffer over something. And so there is that. I mean, I think that would be just a great place to start. And when relationships get so merged that what one person is doing in themselves is perceived as having that kind of impact on the other, that to me that's a relationship issue because. You know, if somebody else has whatever process they're working through and working on, they have their karma. Each person in a relationship has their karma. To take somebody else's karma so personally just seems like a really important place to explore. Now, that said, if somebody's in a relationship and they, you know, say they live together and they share expenses and one person is not doing their part, then to be able to say, you know, this is not okay with me because this is the agreement that we had. But that is not the same as causing another person to suffer. I don't know. Michael, do you understand what I'm saying about that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I can say, so you and I have whatever agreement we have, and I say, Michael, you said that you were going to generate half of the expenses, and you're not doing that, so what are we going to do about that?
Yes.
That's very different from, you are causing me to suffer
yes.
because you're not keeping your end of the bargain.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be job one to me. And then, of course, the rest of it is just what everybody is dealing with. How do you get past all of those voices of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate to be able to do what a person wants to do in life? It's what Ken was talking about. It's, you know, it's what Jen was talking about with starting the business. When we get to that point, my favorite book on the subject, of course, is that one, Will Come to Me, Making a Change for Good, and the 30-Day Retreat, where a person sets out to do something and then charts their progress along to see how what happens to them happens to them, how conditioning does to them what it does in order to keep them in a particular configuration. But with that person, job one would be getting clear that no, we're not causing each other to suffer. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So now that we've agreed upon that, how do we want to resolve these issues between us?
Yes, yes. And the way you framed it is really, let's get on the same side of the table and look at this as our issue.
That's right. It is our issue. Whatever that is, and
right.
And again, I'm talking about the actual issue. You know, you're not contributing to the household finances, or you're not doing your share of the chores, or the what needs to be done to maintain the family, or whatever that is. And those are problems that, as you say, we can get on the same side of the table and look at and come up with solutions that work for both parties.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Sherry, for that.
Yeah, and it really is an alarming thing. One of the things that I always attempt to encourage people toward is don't use practice against somebody. You know, don't say things like, I think that's just a subpersonality talking there, or you're just projecting that. And boy, when we get into a place where we are able to mimic the self-hating voices that a person has so that they're getting it inside and outside,
yeah.
Ooh, that's just something we just don't want to do to one another.
Rough place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. I have another question here.
Oh.
First, I want to thank you and Michael for the show. I find it enormously helpful and need to get myself on track and call in. I did see you in New York a few months ago and promised to call in. However, I didn't say when I would. And a little,
see? Now, that was my mistake.
Face.
That was my mistake. I should have said, what's the date?
Yes. That being said, I'm emailing you because I don't think I'll be able to get the words out to call you for advice next Tuesday. All week, I've been sitting at home with my dying cat, and the pain for me of this inevitable loss feels like it's bordering on unbearable. I've lost family and friends in the past, but this feels so different for me. There's no other being that I've spent so much time with on a daily basis, and her presence has been so significant to me that I wonder how I'll get along without her. The voices are hard at work, though, giving hurtful advice such as, "You're a big baby, get over it, it's just a cat. You should have just let the vet take care of this so it could be done with. How can you be there for her when you're so caught up in yourself?" Etc., etc. I'm still suffering greatly, so part of me must believe some of those voices. There's also a voice telling me that everything I've written is stupid, poorly written, and that I'm a coward for not calling in. If I write any more, the voices will convince me not to send it. So on that note, any encouragement you may have for me would be deeply appreciated. From a listener in New York City.
Well, I know the first one is get to a there's nothing wrong with you retreat.
Yeah.
That if I just had to give one piece of encouragement, it
yeah.
would be that.
Yeah.
It's just, people think that I'm off the rails with this obsession about mean, hateful, hurtful voices inside people's heads. There you are. You know, talk about being able to rest your case. Good grief. Why are we like that with animals? Well, of course not everybody is, but the people who are, what are animals in our lives? For God's sake, they are unconditional love and acceptance. They don't care how you look or how you sound or how you behave, or they don't care anything about you. They just love you.
Yeah.
They forgive you anything. They're always there. They are the embodiment of unconditional love.
Yeah.
And to be the recipient of that, and then to face the loss of it is just horrible, horrible grief. And then, of course, to have those voices come in and say those vicious, cruel things at a time of such tremendous loss and sadness is just, you know, I mean, for me, I just want that person to say, here is my promise to you, little kitty cat. You have brought me to an awareness that I am not going to spend another minute of my life living in relationship with this kind of cruelty and hatefulness. I'm not. I will dedicate the rest of my life to turning this around and freeing myself from this, and I will, with my last breath, thank you for being the unconditionally loving inspiration for doing this work.
Wow, that's inspiring.
That would be the best thank you the human could give the animal. And I don't know this, obviously, you know, and I don't even feel bad that I don't know it because nobody knows it. But I suspect that the animal knows those kinds of things. You know, that there's one of the things that we love so much about being in relationship with animals is that they're so incredibly sensitive to us. They're more sensitive to us than we are to them and than we are to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so to be able to give that as a gift, as anyone leaves form, to let that being go with the knowledge of having made a tremendous impact on the life of the one that they loved and were devoted to, it's a wonderful thank you.
It is indeed a wonderful thank you. And the way you describe it, it seems like life is really offering a possibility to really open up.
Yes. Yes. Because, I mean, in this specific case, that creature showed that human what it's like to experience unconditional love and acceptance. Now take that awareness and apply it to every moment of life. Will that person be able to do it perfectly? Not immediately, but by golly, it's like any other skill with practice. We just get better and better and better.
Yes, it's a good deal.
Yeah, so you wake up in the morning and you say, okay, little kitty cat, I'm going to try to be with myself the way you were with me. At the end of the day, we'll check in, and I'll let you know how well I did. Am I ever going to match your fine example? Probably not, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Sherry, someone snuck into our phone queue while I was doing email questions, and so we'll invite that person back for next week.
Bless their heart. I hope they'll be first on our list.
Yes, and I'm really grateful for all of our callers and all of our listeners being here tonight with us.
Me too, Michael. And for that great good news at the beginning.
Oh, yes, what a great guest.
Yeah, good. All right, talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.